Yo, what's up, Hoophead Nation? This is Eddie Aparicio. I'm joined by my co-host, Anthony Tuan Corral, and we're also known as the Cisco Kids. But this is episode 56, bro. We finally got to at least my age.
56.
We reached your age last week, brother. Yeah. But anyway, this is episode 56 of Buzzer Beaters, and we are a podcast that's dedicated to basketball with a serious emphasis on the NBA. We are brought to you here by GremlingsMedia.com. You can also find us at GremlingsMedia.com, as well as any other popular podcast outlet you can think of, such as Pandora, YouTube, Spotify, Apple, Facebook, X, you name it. Just punch us in, GremlingsMedia.com, and you'll go ahead and find us. This is your first time. I got to say, man, where you been, right? This is number 50, episode 56. We finally got here, brother. And this is actually our first show after the draft. And we go usually about an hour to an hour and a half typically. We've always been about an hour and a half recently. So I would say, you know, we try not to go over that except for the draft. The draft was like, you know, 3.5 hours for the first day and then 2.5 hours for the second day, right? Those are our longest ones.
Yeah, I'll be honest, I was mumbling by those last.
Yeah, dude, that was too. And dude, I chugged the water after that, bro. So, you know, I was sweating up. You know, I was sweating up here that first day, dude. I had that freaking, you know, that long sleeve polo, and then the thing that smartened up, but still, I had my, you know, Tarkanian towel that I was biting.
That's it. That's right.
Right. So, but anyway, so what we're gonna go ahead and cover for this week. So we have three topics that we're gonna go ahead and talk about this week. So the first one is that we're gonna go ahead and discuss all of the trades and free agency that has happened since the last week's draft. And I got to tell you, it's been craziness, man. You know, 28 out of the 30 teams have actually done some kind of a transaction. So Tuan and I are going to go over all of that. You know, we're probably going to do an emphasis on the ones that really were the ones that really stood out. We'll probably try and cover all of them, but that's going to take a lot of time, right? And, you know, as we're probably doing the show, other deals are probably going to go down too. The second thing that we're going to do is kind of a quick segment. But last year, Tuan and I started doing this, you know, post-NBA draft. We did a rookie draft. So what we do is we go ahead and pick four players from the first round, and then we pick one player for the second round so that we can go ahead and keep track of the stats for the entire season, including this weekend's first NBA Summer League leagues going on.
So Eddie, question on that one. Yep. Last year we did it in between summer league and regular season. Mm-hmm. This year you're just pegging us to do it before even summer league, right?
Yep, we're gonna do. We're picking the rookies for both summer league and the regular season, man. So we're gonna do that for this week. That's the second segment.
Yep.
And the last segment is something that Tuan had brought up to me over lunch that he thought it would be a good idea to kind of go over some of the leagues that feed in the players into the NBA. Now, we all know the G League is probably one of the more known ones here in the U.S., but since in the 80s, there's been a big influx of European players and players that come from other countries, and we're going to go ahead and review some of those leagues and talk about, you know, what players have come from those leagues, which ones we think are the most successful. That's going to be Tuan's pretty much his segment to go ahead and host. So without further delay, before we get into it, man, what's been going on with you, brother? What's happening, man? Same old.
Not much, man. I'm pretty much on solo mode. Like I mentioned last week, my wife and my oldest daughter are in New York for a little bit.
New York.
And
are they still there?
They're still there. They're there for another week or so. So they're hanging out. You know, hopefully they're having the time of their lives. But they're out there. So I'm here. You know, feeding the dog, doing the laundry, all that fun stuff, dude.
You're being Mr. Mom at home by yourself, bro, right?
I am Mr. Mom. I was trying to help a little, but now all the burden's on me now, so I'm running around trying to take care of everything. So.
Yeah.
So that's all good.
It's funny because, you know, my wife, you know, she's a homemaker, right? But, you know, now that, you know, Amanda's at school, you know, she's kind of, you know, deliberating, you know, whether to maybe go back and kind of maybe do some work just to kind of help out her a little bit here. But, you know, before that, you know, when she was gone and I had to do stuff, man, I'm like, oh my God, you know, the housewives do a lot of work, bro. They do a lot of work.
Yeah, it's a lot.
You know, and, you know, for me to kind of do it, I failed miserably, bro. So, but I can cook, bro. I can cook. You're in there, right?
Just keep,
you know?
Well, see, I can't. I'll do laundry. I'll clean, but I'm horrible at cooking. So that's the part where I suffer. You know,
just go out and eat, bro. Just take some bread back home, bro.
For dinner tonight, am I having sofers or sofers? Which one?
Yeah, exactly. Or for me, it'd be ramen, spaghetti, ramen. Freaking, exactly. I don't know, go to McDonald's, right? I don't know, whatever. That's kind of what it's easy.
Yep, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. So, bro, let's get into it, man. So, you know, the last week's draft, there was a lot of activity. But this week, dude, it's been nuts. I mean, it's been trade, free agent signing. Like, it was happening, like, on an every hour basis in, the first week or the first the day of free agency, right? It's crazy, man, all the stuff that we're going on. So we're going to go ahead and talk about all those. But I can tell you, you know, by the way, you can see I changed the kind of the color scheme. It used to be orange. I changed it to black and red and kind of go with the Gremlins Media logo that we have here. And by the way, before I forgot to mention, we're here every Wednesday live, okay? Now, we're going to be here Wednesday, probably for the next 3 or 4 Wednesdays live. And then after that, we're probably going to go ahead and take a break. We'll probably do some shorts here and there. Because the NBA season after the summer league is pretty much over until the preseason starts. So for the next 3 to 4 weeks, we're going to go ahead and continue doing this. I might invite, see if I can get Angel to come back and talk about WNBA too. So that might be something we might talk about here in the coming weeks. But anyway, so let's go ahead and start off. So before the podcast today, there was a breaking news that DeAndre Ayton signed with the Lakers.
Yep.
All right. And it's a 2-year deal, undisclosed amount, right? But that was a glaring weakness for the Lakers. They didn't have a big guy after they traded away Anthony Davis for Luka Doncic, right? And then, of course, Mark Williams, that whole trade fell through. So that left a gaping hole in the middle. They were just not a well-constructed roster at that time. They had these two superstars that were matchup nightmares for everybody, right? But now, you know, they have somebody who is a low-post presence, right? Now, this guy can score. He's a double-double machine. You know, I heard that there's only been, you know, 7 or 8 players in NBA history that have averaged a double-double in their first 7 seasons, and that's what DeAndre Ayton has done. Very quietly has done that, man. So I think that's going to be it's going to be interesting fit for him, you know, because that makes him so much scary because he's actually a decent defensive player too. He's just not as agile as Anthony Davis, right? But he's actually pretty good player, man. What are your thoughts on that trade, bro?
So real quick, just so you know, they did announce it was a 2-year, $16.16 million deal. So he's getting about 8 and change per year. That combined with the buyout that Portland bought him out at, I think he'll do all right for the next 2 seasons. No, right. I agree with you. I mean, you know, this guy was an ideal opportunity for a team like the Lakers, right? Anyone that's looking for big men. Warriors looking for big men, Lakers looking for big men. You know, it seems like we got a bunch of teams that have an influx of big guys, and then we have some teams that have no big presence. And for me, this is a home run. I mean, especially at $8 million a year, it's not going to cost you a lot. He's going to be the main big man, you know, because there is really nobody else on that team that can compete against him. So he's really going to have what I feel is probably the first opportunity to shine as a big man. You know, even in Phoenix, he was playing with Kevin Durant, and you know, it was a little challenging for him. And then he went over to Portland, and they got some bigs there. And you know, he was starting some games, coming off the bench, coming some games. The one thing I do have some concern was that I heard he's got poor practice
habits,
and you know, he can be kind of salty when things don't go his way. So we'll see how that plays out. You know, obviously, if he's smart and he's hearing those rumors, he wants to turn that around. He's obviously with an organization that a lot of players would love to play for, which is the Lakers. It's a, you know, it's a storied franchise. So, and you're playing with LeBron and Doncic. LeBron is a pass first guy, you know. Yep. So if you're open, LeBron's going to find you. Doncic is a little more of a selfish guy, but nonetheless, you're playing with two guys, so you shouldn't see too many double teams. You shouldn't see too many kind of people focusing on you on the, you know, when you're playing offense. So I think it's a good move. I think it'll work well. I don't know how much he'll shine more than he has already, but it's definitely a move the Lakers had to do.
For sure, they had to, man. And you know, before this morning, you know, if you see my little caption there, 28 of the 30 teams, there actually was 27 of 30, but then the Lakers did this deal. They were pretty quiet, you know. After they had that I think it was the 54th or 55th pick, they picked the Lachlan Ulbrich. Yep. But they've been pretty quiet, right, until today, right, until DeAndre Ayton signed a two-year deal, $16.6 million deal. So, anyway, let's go to another one that I caught my eye, man. So, you know, kind of the wave that was heard around the world was Damian Lillard getting waived, right there by the Milwaukee Bucks in order to make some room to sign Miles Turner, free agent center from the runner-up in the Indiana Pacers this year.
Yeah.
They signed Miles Turner, and they freed up some cap space in order to sign him by releasing Damian Lillard, man. That was a surprise, man. That was a big surprise. So, go ahead, bro.
That was a big shock on many levels. One is that you would release a player of
that caliber.
There's quality, right? He's still a high-quality player. But the second one was, this is eerily reminiscent of a football-type move. You know, you don't see this in the NBA very often, where they release players like this and eat the money. The interesting part, and I don't know the rules, and at some point I'm going to go find the rules. Basically, what they did was they owed Lillard, I think, $113 million in the next two seasons, right? So instead of doing that, they waive him, and then now they're paying him over five seasons, right? So that hit against the cap has just got cut down significantly, which allowed them to pay Miles Turner. So I just find the whole move fascinating because it is clearly a reflection of how hard it is for teams that are at the aprons to maneuver in this league. And it's going to get worse and worse as we go. I think that we're seeing the first domino of moves like this. You know, players that are going to get waived so you can get whatever you can. It also shows to me how much Milwaukee wants to be Giannis. They're doing whatever they can. Now, you heard on social media that Giannis was upset that they let Lillard go. You know, so I don't know, like, how much of that, you know, he knew about or didn't know about. But to me, they clearly made a move so that they could compete. I don't think so either, to be honest with you. but, hey, it's a shot in the dark. You know, Miles Turner's a good talent, just went to the finals. I like the move.
What's interesting, bro, is that if you look at all the teams, right, now the little caption says 20 out of the 30. The only teams that have not done anything are the Pacers as well as the Washington Wizards as far as trades, right? But as far as drafting trades, you know, that happened. But we're talking about post-draft, right? So those are the only two teams that haven't done anything yet. Now, with respect to the Bucks, all right, they have done eight transactions, bro, okay? So what they did, I'll give you some of the other ones. They signed free agent center Jericho Sims to a two-year deal undisclosed. They re-signed Gary Trent Jr. to a two-year $7.5 million extension. They went ahead and traded Pat Connaughton and two second-round picks to the Charlotte Hornets for Vasilije Micic, all right? And then they signed Kevin Porter, who's now going to be their point guard, really, right? He's going to be their point guard. And they signed him to a two-year $11 million deal. And then they have Bobby Portis, who's kind of their six-man guy. They signed him to a three-year $44 million deal to return to the Bucks. And they also re-signed Taurean Prince to a two-year $7.1 million deal. And the last one that they've done is Gary Harris from the Orlando Magic. They went ahead and signed him to a two-year undisclosed amount. Yep. So they have been very, very active, man. They're definitely trying to show, like you already said, they're trying to show Giannis that they're serious about competing. Now, whether that's enough or not, whether Giannis perceives that as enough, it remains to be seen. But, you know, we know that he got a little salty that Damian Lillard got essentially released, right? So, anyway, so they're very, very active, bro. Any other thoughts on that before we move on?
Well, and I think that any East Coast team that is very active, Atlanta is another team that has been very active, I think they see a window.
For sure, see a window.
Right? Boston has Tatum that got injured, and then the fallout from that is, you know, Porzingis, Drew Holiday are gone. You know, you look at Indiana now, you know, the Haliburton is out, Miles Turner's on another team, so they're kind of, you know, weak. Cleveland's still the squad. I think they're going to have to be the favorite to win the conference next year. I can't say
anything. They're going to be a
correct. Correct. But you got the Knicks with a new coach now, which you and I didn't even call, you know,
Mike Brown.
Which was somebody. Yeah. So we'll talk about that, I'm sure, in a minute. But, So yes, they're making a lot of moves. I just don't know how effective they are, right? And again, I think this is, and I think we're going to see this trend on a lot of the trades that a lot of the activity that we talk about. It's no team. Most teams aren't getting significantly better. They're just moving pieces around to see if they fit better. And a lot of this is due to the salary cap. You can't really do anything. You can't really make splash moves anymore.
The salary cap did go up though. It's like 154.6. So it went up by almost 10 million, I think, from what I remember.
Correct. And I think the second apron went up to do something.
Yeah. So it gives them a little bit more flexibility, but not much, right? But we can see that the Bucks are definitely very active. Now, another team, I'm going to jump around a little bit here, but another team, that seems to have been active, three other teams that have been active on the West, okay? First of all, I want to go ahead and recognize that Shai Gilgeous-Alexander got signed to a Supermax deal, $285 million extension for 4 years, you know, for now a champion, first-time champion, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, and reigning MVP, so congrats to him. But as far as, you know, what they've done is, they've also signed Jalen Williams to a 3-year, $24 million deal. They also intended
the other Jalen,
Vietnamese Jalen, right? Not the Santa Clara Jalen, but the one from Arkansas. And then they intend to sign A.J. Mitchell out of UC Santa Barbara to a 3-year contract worth $9 million. And then they've traded Dylan Jones, who was a draft pick from last year, and a second-round pick to the Wizards in exchange for Kobe Jones. But I think the Thunder are intending to go ahead and waive Kobe Jones. So that was all, you know, a salary cap maneuver that they did. You know, the Thunder, are somewhat, you know, not extraordinarily active, but I just wanted to go ahead and recognize that Shai Gilgeous-Alexander went ahead and got a sign.
Yeah, you know, and one of the things, this is going to sound weird, but one of the things I like sometimes, it doesn't happen too often in sports, is when someone gets paid and no one questions it. You know, which in SGA's case, he got paid a boatload of money. No one's questioning it, which I like.
He deserves it, man.
That's good. Good for him. You went out, you did it, you earned it. Enjoy. You know, they got a couple of guys behind him. The main Jalen Williams.
Chet Holmgren.
And Chet Holmgren coming behind. So it's going to be interesting what they do with those two guys. One could argue that Jalen Williams is on a track to be better than SGA. I think his numbers are better when you take SGA.
In the first four or five years? Yeah.
In the same point of their career? Correct. So Jalen Williams is a player. Chet Holmgren, I haven't quite figured it out yet to me. He's pretty good, but how much of a key he is, and that's going to be kind of interesting. Whether they sign the three guys, whether they don't, we'll see. They didn't do it with Durant, Westbrook, and Harden. So we'll see if they do it with these.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like we have said in previous podcasts, these guys are set up to be a dynasty. If they can win at least another one right in the next 2 to 3 years, they're going to be set up big because of all of the draft picks that they have. You know, they're the second youngest team in the NBA. So this is remarkable. We've never seen it, right? And like as we mentioned, we think that this is the new trend. You know, where teams are going to be stockpiling a bunch of, you know, two-way athletic players that can shoot and, you know, all about defense. I think this is going to be the trend moving forward, and this is what the GMs are trying to draft. So let me go ahead and go to another team that I see that has also been active. So the Nuggets. Okay, the Nuggets didn't have a draft pick in last week's draft. But they went ahead and traded Michael Porter Jr. and a 2032 unprotected first-round pick to the Nets for Cam Johnson, right? They're similar players, except that Michael Porter Jr. is about 3 inches taller, okay? But I guess, you know, I guess they probably felt that, you know, Michael Porter didn't live up to what they thought he was going to be, right? Because, you know, before he had the back issues coming out of college, he was, you know, widely considered probably one of the better players in that draft, even though he slipped because of the back issues. But he still had issues even in his first, I think his fourth or fifth season that he's been in the NBA. And, you know, those issues have still kind of, you know, were there. But I think that for the most part, I think most Denver fans would probably look at him and say he was just maybe a little bit above average player, right? Didn't really do as much. I mean, he's a decent shooter. They, you know, it's kind of Klay Thompson, poor man's Klay Thompson, really, you know, but, you know, he's kind of hit and miss with respect to everything else that comes with just, you know, because if he's just a shooter, you can only play so much, you know, on the floor, right? But if you can do a lot of other things, which is what I think why they went ahead and did this deal is because they probably feel Cam Johnson probably does a lot more. He rebounds pretty good for his size. He's actually a little bit bulkier guy, plays pretty decent defense, can shoot as well. So that's probably why they did this, because they probably felt he was a little bit more well-rounded for what the Denver Nuggets are going to do. So,
and also a little younger and a little more durable, because Porter's been very less durable. And when your bench is light, you need guys that are going to be more durable.
Yep. So that was one deal that they did. Another deal that they did is they brought back Bruce Brown, man. All right, they brought him back to a one-year undisclosed deal. So then they went ahead and also signed another free agent, and Tim Hardaway Jr., to another one-year undisclosed. Good. So they're getting a bench now, man, because that was their very weak.
They also traded
Dario Saric for Jonas Valanciunas. Yes, which is kind of a head scratcher because, you know, I think Jonas is a lot better player than Dario Saric, man. I mean, he played a lot.
I think so too.
So
I think so,
I don't know
too.
What the Kings are thinking
about.
Yeah,
and I think that's a good backup center for when Joker comes.
For sure.
Yeah. I'm also confused on what Brooklyn was thinking about trading Cam Johnson for Michael Porter. Like, what are they thinking? Like, I don't understand what Brooklyn's doing.
I don't know, man. I mean,
you know, you want to get younger, you want to start, you're getting kind of, I don't know.
Maybe the impression is that Michael Porter Jr. probably in a better system would be a better player. Maybe they thought, you know, even though Nikola Jokic, you know, any team that has Nikola Jokic, the players are going to be good because of how well that guy passes. Maybe they just felt like he just needed a different scene. He needed to change the scenery, right, in order to get his game back, right?
Okay. We'll see how that pays off.
Man. So, okay, another one that I want to point out is, again, in the West, we have the Clippers, okay? They signed free agent center Brook Lopez, right? Now, they had already drafted two players that are centers in the draft. So they have Mohamed Diawara and then Yannick Niedenhauser. Now they have Brook Lopez, and then they have, you know, Ivica Zubac, right? So they are stacked at the center right now. They also re-signed Nicholas Batum to a two-year $11.5 million deal. And then it looks like James Harden declined his player option and is going to intend to sign a two-year $81.5 million deal. I don't think it's been announced yet, but that's the intent. And then they also went ahead and waived Drew Eubanks. So the Clippers were also another very active team. Any comments or thoughts on that?
No, just, you know, the old get older. You know, Kawhi's old. Brook Lopez is old. James Harden obviously just re-signed again for another 3 years or whatever they did, you know. So, you know, he's older. So it's going to be interesting because, to me, as I've said in previous years, that team's going to go how Kawhi goes. If Kawhi plays, they're going to go far. If Kawhi doesn't play, we'll see.
Yep.
We'll see.
Okay, so another one that I wanted to kind of highlight as well is that we have kind of a head scratcher kind of deal, all right? So the Utah Jazz, so their 15th seed last season, they traded Colin Sexton, who's actually a pretty damn good, you know, shooting guard /point guard, but they went ahead and traded him to Charlotte for Jusuf Nurkić, which I thought was kind of a head scratcher of a deal, man. Because I would say that, you know, Colin Sexton has a lot more upside than Jusuf Nurkić. Jusuf Nurkić has seen the best of his career already, right? He's on the decline. But I guess they felt that they needed some, you know, some size. You know, they have, you know, Walker Kessler already there as their center. Maybe they feel he's a better backup center, and they could probably put Kyle Filipowski as a power forward type. Maybe they felt they needed a backup center for Walker Kessler, right? I don't know, man. I just thought that was kind of a head scratcher.
I'm with you. I'm with you. I don't get why Utah did the trade.
Yep.
You know,
I agree, man.
You know, I just don't see it. I mean, Sexton has not lived up to the hype, right? Was he a number one pick? He was a number one pick, right?
He was the first round pick. I don't know if he was the first pick, but he was the first round pick for sure.
Okay. I'm like you, Eddie. I don't understand why they did it.
Yeah, I don't get it, man. I don't get it. And the other thing that's going to, you know, we've talked about this guy a lot in previous podcasts, you know, as someone that we thought would be a good fit for someone like the Denver Nuggets, someone like the New York Knicks who needed a bench, right? And a guy who can come off the bench and score is, you know, Jordan Clarkson. Jordan Clarkson is actually going to get a contract buyout, and he's intending to sign with the New York Knicks. So,
which is a home run for the Knicks, dude.
Oh, big time, man. So that's a that will be a great signing once it happens, man. So those are the ones that I kind of wanted to point out. I mean, dude, I mean, there are so many other deals that have happened, right? A lot of them are not that high profile, but, you know, the Raptors did another thing too. They signed Jakob Poeltl, right? To a 4-year, $104 million extension, you know, yep. And they also signed Sandro Manukerisvili. I think he played for the Spurs last year. So they have two guys there that are centers, you know, and the Raptors, I think, are an up and coming team. You know, I think, you know, they're going to be a team to watch, I think, this year. That's just going to, you know, once they get their health back, you know, they have Brandon Ingram, they have R.J. Barrett, right? They have, you know, Grady Dick.
Don't call me Harry.
Don't call me Harry, baby. They're going to be a team, and they drafted Colin Murray Boyles. You know, I think they're going to be a team to watch that's going to rise. I don't think they're going to be like a top four team. I think they're probably going to, you know, fight for, you know, probably out of the play-in more than likely, but they're going to be significantly better than they were last year. So,
yeah.
Any other trades you want to go ahead and or any other activity you want to kind of highlight before we move on to the next segment, bro?
So, you know, Minnesota was pretty active. They re-signed Naz Reid. They agreed to an extension with Julius Randle. I thought that was interesting just because they made it to the Western Conference Finals 2 years in a row and lost.
Yep.
They're keeping everything as is, which is against the flow of what most teams would do in that situation. So I thought that was kind of interesting. you know, we talked about Kuminga still. Don't have a resolution. Josh Giddey is another one that I believe we still don't have resolution on, so that's going to be interesting. Nickeil Alexander-Walker, I think you mentioned him. He signed with Atlanta. Are you going to talk about the next team, or we're switching to the next?
No, segment? The next segment completely. I just want other trades that you want to go ahead and talk about before we go.
You know, I thought the loss of Dorian Finney-Smith from the Lakers is going to hurt.
That's a big hit.
Yeah, I think that's a huge hit. And so I'm kind of weighing signing DeAndre Ayton versus losing Finney-Smith. I don't know. I don't know how that kind of comps, right? Like, you still may be
the overall net effect, right? You're talking about the overall net.
Correct. Right? But Houston's going to be no joke. I mean, obviously they signed Kevin Durant. If they haven't already, they will. You know, they got Dorian Finney-Smith. I mean, they did quite a bit of activity, and that's been interesting. And then I think the wild card right now is going to be Malik Beasley, right? He's being investigated for.
I forgot. I meant to bring that up. Yeah. That's right.
He's being investigated for
gambling. Like Jontae Porter, man. Remember Jontae Porter?
Exactly. So, yeah. You know, is the team going to touch him? Is he going to stay unrestricted? We'll see what happens to him. Another one to me that was interesting was Ty Jerome. Ty Jerome left the Cleveland Cavaliers, signed over with Memphis, which is interesting because is he going to be the starter and then Ja Morant will be the off guard? You know, is that how they're going to play it? Or
That's a good question. I think they probably signed more as a backup, honestly. That's what I think. I mean, they have, you know, who else do they have? They have Rob Dillingham is with Minnesota. Sorry about that. You know, I think he's probably more of a backup. I think so, too,
but you got some maneuver there, right? Because you don't have Bane there anymore, right? Yep. So what are you going to do, right? So that's going to be curious. Dennis Schroeder, who's been to 1,000 teams, he signed a 3-year deal with the Kings. So I thought that was kind of interesting. And I think everybody else you mentioned, Russell Westbrook is still unrestricted. So we'll see what these moves, because the thought was, if I remember correctly, Russell Westbrook didn't pick up his second year because he wanted to restructure or get more money or whatever. And the thought was initially that he was going to re-sign with Denver. Now that they've done these other moves, we'll see what that means. Chris Paul is another veteran that hasn't been re-signed as of yet.
Yep.
You know, Clint Capella also went to Houston. You know.
There's a lot of possibilities.
Houston's going to be a major problem.
No, I agree with you, man. They're definitely making their roster to go ahead and fight for, a championship or at least a berth into the championship game. They're not far off, man. All they needed was shooting. You know, I thought maybe someone, Jordan Clarkson would have been a great fit for the Houston Rockets, man. They would have just, that would have been a slam dunk, right? They would have Jordan Clarkson come off the bench. They have, you know, Kevin Durant, and both those guys can shoot, man. So, but yeah, I agree. The Houston Rockets are going to be a team to reckon with this season. They're going to be probably, you know, fighting for the number one seed along with Oklahoma City Thunder. We shall see if Oklahoma City Thunder can defend, you know, defend their crown here this season. You know, maybe some of their hunger might wane. We don't know. That's possible, right? But they're young enough not to be that way. I mean, but they're young enough to be that way too, right? One other team that I want to point out is the team, your team, man, the Detroit Pistons, man. Now,
the Detroit Pistons also
did a couple of sneaky moves, man. All right. They went ahead and signed Caris LeVert, you know, out of Atlanta, who's a free agent.
Good pickup.
They signed him to a 2-year, $29 million deal. And they also signed Duncan Robinson of the Miami
Heat. Right, for the Miami Heat.
Right? To a $48 million, three-year deal. And they did this after trading Simone Fontecchio to the Heat. So that's what they did. They got Duncan Robinson in exchange for Simone Fontecchio. Those are kind of, you know, under-the-radar kind of moves. But Detroit was already, you know, they were a sixth seed last season, and they were a problem, man. You know, they had a winning record, you know, in the East, and, you know, they're you know, getting their roster ready to make a push, you know, for this upcoming season. Because, as you mentioned, you know, we know the Pacers, they're going to be, you know, they're going to have their issues to, you know, come back because of Tyrese Halliburton and now Miles Turner longer being on the team. They're not, they're probably going to fall out of the, you know, top five. So then up comes maybe, you know, Detroit Pistons, so, and Atlanta Hawks, right? Atlanta Hawks.
Yeah, so I'm wondering if that top four is going to look something like, you know, Cleveland, Detroit, Atlanta, and who was the other team I had, another team pegged
Knicks,
in there?
The Knicks.
Yes. I think that's good. I'm looking like maybe that's the top four. It's going to be really interesting what Boston does, you know.
Boston just, I think, mailed it in, bro. They just mailed in the season. Dude, they said, screw it, man. We're not going to do anything. Let's just go ahead and just get our salary cap situation all figured out. You know, we're not going to really do much without freaking Jason Tatum, right? So they just went in fire sale, man.
Let me ask you, Eddie. You know, you know, I don't consider myself much of an ego guy, but if I'm Jaylen Brown, okay, and they're giving everything up, I'm like, dude, I can carry this. I can do it. You know, I'm not saying that we're better without Jason Tatum, but, you know, I can bring it home. Like, that's what I'm thinking, you know?
Yeah.
I'm not, you know, and for them to just kind of throw the white flag as a player, I'm kind of, like, disappointed, you know? I'm like, what are you doing?
Like, yeah, and then they lost Luke Kornet, too. Luke Kornet is gone, right?
Exactly.
Luke Porzingis, Luke Kornet, Jason Tatum, you know, they're pretty much.
Porzingis, Drew Holiday. I mean, they just gave everything up. And I'm feeling like Jay LeBron. I'm going, yo, WTF.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
What's going on?
Yeah.
Why can't we run it back?
And there's rumors about Al Horford maybe even coming to the Warriors, man.
Yes, I mean, see that. I don't know, man.
The Warriors are becoming Team Geritol, bro. I mean, big time. And there's also talk that, you know, Damian Lillard might want to potentially consider coming off the bench, you know, and coming back home to Oakland, right? That's another. Yeah. I mean, he's been, you know, the destinations that they thought that he could go to, number one being Portland, going back to Portland, and number two being the Warriors, right? Because of where he's from. He's from Oakland, right? That would be interesting, man. If that were to happen, I mean, Damian Lillard, when he comes back, right now he is 34, so he's missing an entire season. He's going to be 35 and a half when he comes back, right? So he'll be kind of getting to the 36-year-old, and he'll be coming, you know, at that time the Warriors will probably be, you know, on the last year of their contracts of Curry, Butler, and Draymond Green, and Steve Kerr, right? Who knows, man? Maybe they'll bring him in for that one last hoorah, man. We'll see, man. But speaking of our Warriors, they haven't been very active yet, right? They've only tendered a restricted free agent offer to Jonathan Kuminga, $7.5 million when he was asking for somewhere around 30, right? And he's not getting – no one has really come in for an offer. Yeah, he's not going to get 30. I mean, there's no way. He ain't getting it. But, you know, right now the market seems to be a little bit soft for him, which is interesting. You know, there's not somebody who's kind of said, hey, we're going to pay you 20 or 15 or nothing like that's happened yet, right? We shall see, man. But, the Warriors – They played it pretty smart, man. Right? They played this one pretty smart. You know, you know, it's possible that Kuminga can come back at $7.5 million, and if he does, they might try and integrate him a little bit more and see if he can go ahead and get that deal that he wants, you know, but more than likely, he's probably going to be a trade deadline kind of deal that's going to happen.
The problem with the 7.5 is if he signs for that next year, he's an unrestricted free agent, and then he leaves and you get nothing, right? So if I'm the Warriors, I'm thinking, hey, Jonathan, how about a 3 or 4 year contract, $20 million a year? You know, because then at least you can trade for someone down the road that's worth that much and get a player back, right? But again, Kuminga can throw a curveball in that by not playing along. You know, he already has the offer. So all he has to do is sign for that $7 million and hope he doesn't get hurt or anything like that.
Right.
And even if he doesn't play, I think that it's kind of known that the Warriors have, you know, the story goes that the Warriors haven't given Kuminga enough opportunity to shine. And I think that there's other organizations that feel that that's true. I don't know if I agree with that, but for whatever the case, I think so. I think that he would at least get something between 15 and 20 million a year next year.
From another team. Yeah.
It hasn't happened yet, but we'll see.
Yeah. So, all right, brother. Any other parting thoughts before we end this segment?
No, just that it's been really active. You know, like I said, a lot of these trades, some of them were head scratchers. Like, you know, there's been some big pieces, but, you know, overall there seems to be more balance in the league. You know, like we mentioned in the East Coast, especially teams like Detroit, Atlanta, you know, they're kind of moving up. We'll see how New York and Cleveland do. You know, the Houston Rockets, I think, are a threat in the Western Conference. We'll see what Minnesota does next year. You know, they've basically stayed the same. Denver's kind of reinforced their team a little bit, so they got a little bit more of a bench now. So they're, you know, any team with Joker can't be dismissed, just cannot. And so, you know, I think we're looking at Oklahoma City, Denver, and Houston as the top three teams next year going into,
I agree. Do you think the Lakers, you know, they were the number three seed last year. Do you think they, you know, maybe slip to number four, or do you think they're still going to contend for the top three in the conference?
Yeah, again, we talked about losing Dinwiddie
Dorian Finney-Smith.
Dinwiddie they lost, no.
No, Dorian Finney.
Thank you, Dorian Finney-Smith. Yeah. So, Dorian, we talked about them losing. I don't know if they're a better team than they were a year ago. They got more balance in the positions, we'll see. I need to see, you know, DeAndre Ayton's kind of attitude and things of that nature. Also, you know, there's been a lot of rumors that LeBron might get traded. He might move here. I don't know if you saw there was a comment by Rich Paul that basically said that, you know, LeBron wants to play in a team that has a chance to win a championship. I personally don't think the Lakers have any shot of winning a championship next year as currently constructed, right? You know, you also have Doncic, who's apparently on a new diet and a new regime. You know, he's kind of coming into his body and losing weight, and so we'll see. Because, you know, I hate to say it, but there's some players that play better a little fat. You know, Pablo Sandoval comes to mind. You know, just players that when they lose weight, they lose a little something. You know, and so I'm not saying that this would happen with Doncic, but I'd be curious to see the effects. If he comes in super shape, what does that mean? Is he going to be lighter? That means he gets pushed around more, and then he can't get to his positions. You know, what does that mean? So the Lakers got a lot. There's a lot going on with the Lakers that you got to figure out. And then, you know, if they lose LeBron next year, they lose him for nothing. And I got to think there's a team's got to be crazy to trade for LeBron. You don't want to take a $56 million hit.
No, man, he's too old, and that's a lot of money, man. You have no flexibility, man. It makes sense for, you know, for him to go to a team that's on the rise, right?
Yeah.
A team like, you know, the Houston Rockets, although they've already paid Kevin Durant, right? They can't get another one like that. But another team that, you know, like maybe a Memphis Grizzlies, you know, a team that's kind of, you know, on the rise a little bit, right? Maybe even the Raptors, right? You know, we talk about.
Yeah, but you got to give that money back, right? You got to give that talent back. And that's the part where I'm like, there's no way. So to me, I think the fourth best team in the league next year is probably going to be Minnesota.
Okay. But you know what? Another team we can't sleep on, bro, even though, you know, they lost Kyrie Irving, is the Mavericks, man.
No,
Mavericks signed. I got D'Angelo Russell, man. Right? Not that he's like a whoa player, but you know he does have some skill, right? I mean, he's now their point guard.
That's a good point. Good point.
Then you got Klay Thompson as their shooting guard. Then you have Cooper Flagg, who's now their small forward. Then you have Anthony Davis as their power forward. Then you have Daniel Gafford as their center. You know, coming, you know, with Derek Lively coming off the bench, a PJ Washington coming off the bench. You know, that team is kind of scary, bro. Honestly, they are pretty.
I agree with you. It is kind of scary. At this point, I wouldn't put them ahead of Minnesota. Because Minnesota's got a couple more years playing together with the team as construed. Anthony Davis is still net new. Cooper Flagg is brand new. You know, D'Lo, he is a good player, but he's a shoot-first kind of player, and so we'll see how he's able to take advantage of the players he has around him. But, no, I agree. The interesting thing that I saw was Jason Kidd said that he was going to try to run Cooper Flagg as point guard in the summer league, you know, and so I thought that was kind of fascinating.
That's interesting. You know? Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see how that looks, because maybe D'Lo comes off the bench, and think about that. You got Cooper Flagg as a point guard, Klay as the off guard, you know, Anthony Davis as the four, and then Gafford or Lively as the five, and then, you know, like that's a huge team, bro. That's a huge team.
They're scary, man. They're scary. And then if they get Kyrie Irving back, that's the problem again.
Right? Yeah. Yeah, no.
Dude, that cost's been on your butt, dude, for like over a month.
Yeah, like I told you, it's months, dude. It's months. It's all good. Jesus, man. I'm alive, bro. I'm alive.
All right, brother.
Last time I checked.
So, all right. So we covered the trade frenzy. Now we're going on to our next segment. This is our rookie draft. Okay. Now what we did last year is we went ahead and picked four players in the first round. So Twan and I kind of do this like a fantasy basketball draft, right? You know, more than likely. So last year, I think you had the first pick. I had the second pick. Because I won last year, and I won pretty convincingly, bro, all right, I'm going to let you have the first pick. So we're going to pick four players in the first round, and then we're going to pick one player in the second round. So that'll be a team of five, right? And then I'm going to keep track of all of the stats, and then I have a spreadsheet that we show every week. To kind of see the progress, right? Just to kind of see, it's usually about a 5-minute segment, right? We just kind of show where we're at with all our, you know, what games, you know, certain players, how they've done in certain games and so forth. So we're going to go ahead and cover this theme for the entire season. But today, we're going to go ahead and do a draft, right? So, Twan, you have the first pick. And I know you're going to pick, bro. So,
yeah, so just write them down.
Just write them down, right? All right. So,
yeah, I'm taking Cooper. There's no way I'm not going to take him.
Okay, so you got Cooper Flagg. All right, now I am going to go ahead and pick – dude, I have to pick Dylan Harper, bro. I have to pick Dylan Harper. So he's the second pick. All right, so now you have
– here's where it really
this is when it gets interesting, right?
Yep.
All right, so
– let's see. I'm looking. I'm trying to look at teams.
Exactly.
Hold on.
Yeah. And by the way,
for the
point system for the audience is points are points. Then we have blocks and steals being 3 points. And then rebounds are 1.2 points per rebound. And then assists are 1.5 points per assist. Then we have a turnover being a -1. For each turnover, it's -1. So that's the scoring system that we're going to go ahead and do. And like I said, we're going to go ahead and show the progress each week. And the games start this weekend, bro. There's the California Classic. That's going on, and then the Salt Lake City Summer League that's happening this weekend too. And then on the 10th of, I think the 10th of July is when the Summer League in Las Vegas happens. That's the big showcase, right? And that lasts for about, you know, 10 days or so. And then we're going to finish the overall Summer League, you know, and we'll crown the winner, at least for the Summer League, you know, by the 19th or 20th of this month to see which team does better. But then this team that we pick is going to be for the rest of the season, right? Just so we'll keep track of that. So, all right, brother. So, who you all got, right, man? I bought you some time, man.
I'm gonna go with Ace Bailey.
You're going with Ace Bailey, bro. Woo! Yeah. All right, man. You know who I'm going with, bro. And you know, I'm not very high on this guy, but I'm just looking at.
That's who I was gonna go with.
You know who I'm going with, right?
Go ahead.
I'm gonna go with Colin Knuppel.
I was hoping you were gonna take him.
That's who I'm taking. He's playing for Charlotte's, man, the Charlotte Hornets. You know? So I think
exactly.
All right, man.
Good call.
Yeah, thanks, man.
Let's see.
So who you got, man? So Do you have it?
So,
you have
all right, screen? I'm looking. No, don't like.
I got mine. Like I got that. Mine all figured out, bro. Based on.
No, I don't like that.
Based on who you pick, man. So.
Common Malawatch.
Bastard. That's what I was going to. I was going to take that. That was my next pick, man. Man, you screwed me up. Yeah. All right. So.
All right. They're good. I chopped you at the knees.
Yeah. So, okay. Now, I got to look at the situation that they're in. So, I'm going to go ahead and pick. I'm going to pick Edgecom.
Okay. Right? Good call.
Edgecom. All right. So, that's it. So, that's three for you, three for me. We have one more. This is our last.
So we got one left for the first round.
For the first rounders, right? Now we got the second round after this. So we only have one back.
I'm gonna take Trey Johnson.
You're taking Trey Johnson. All right. Good pick. That was
the Wizards have a history of playing their rookies.
That's a good call, man. Good call. All right. So my last one is I'm gonna pick Colin Murray-Boyles. That's a surprise pick, but that's what I'm thinking.
He plays for the Raptors, right?
He's going to get some time, I think. So, all right, man. So now we got to go to the second round, right? So it starts with, you have your list, right? So go ahead and pick your. All right, I got my guy that I'm thinking about right here, bro. So
okay,
this is our last pick for you, and then my last pick for me.
Okay, let me see here real quick. I don't like that. What is he? No, don't like that. He's not going to play. he might play. All right.
Come on, man. Not going to pick your boy Bogo? What about Bogo, man?
Bogo. No, not going Bogo, bro.
Bogo, dude, from Milwaukee.
I'm going to go with...
Not going to go with Rocco?
I'm going to go with Rashear Fleming.
I knew that's who you're going to pick, man. All right. I am going to go ahead and pick Johnny Broom.
Johnny Broom.
I was
actually looking at Cyan James, but I believe one of my picks was already a Hornet. No, you took the Hornet. Damn, I should have took Cyan James. Oh, well. Okay. Rashear Fleming.
All right. So you got Rashear. Okay. So here's your team, bro. You got Cooper Flagg. You have Ace Bailey. You have Trey Johnson. Come on, Malawatch, and Rashear Fleming. It's a good team.
Yes.
I have Dylan Harper, VJ Edgecombe, Con Knupel, Colin Murray-Boyles, and Johnny Broom. Right? That's my team.
Okay.
So
we're going to go ahead. No, that's good.
Yeah, it's going to be a close match here, man. So, all right, man. So that's it. That's a quick segment. We wanted to go ahead and do that just for fun. I'll go ahead and post the scores each week to see how we're doing. And, we're going to crown the winner for the summer league, in 3 weeks from now, right? And then for the rest of the season, we'll do that at the end of the season. All right, man. So now we're down to our last segment. And this is a review of all the different leagues that feed players into the NBA. Now, as I was doing research on this, there's definitely, the leagues that really stand out are the ones, that you're already going to go ahead and highlight, the EuroLeague, right? That's a big one, right?
Yep. I think
most of the players have come from the EuroLeague. But then, the G League is also a good feeder into the NBA as well. Used to be called the D League, right? Now it's the G League. And, recently, that's been probably the more recent, a success story is that, within the last 3 to 4 years, the NBA has been drafting straight from the G League, right? Which is something that was not necessarily the way it was in the past. So, anyway, go ahead, man. I'll let you take it over. This is your
question. So what I did here was I kind of ranked them. To me, the G League is an affiliate of the NBA, so I kind of put them both as one, as the number one, obviously the number one league in the world. And then I highlighted some players. I mean, for the NBA, I just put Jordan and Kareem. Nobody get hurt about it. I just threw two guys on there. I mean, we all know who's the best players in the NBA, and I didn't want to get into that. So one of the reasons I thought this was valuable is that we're seeing a lot of players come from different leagues.
Yep.
And so what I wanted to do is I wanted to rank it so that we could see collectively, hey, next year, if someone came from the EuroLeague, hey, they're the second best league in the world. So if we're getting players from there, you got 16, 17, 18-year-old players that are playing over there professionally in the EuroLeague that are getting some experience. So, you know, some of the players that I've highlighted here that have played in the EuroLeague, obviously Luka Doncic came from the EuroLeague. Manu Ginobili came from the EuroLeague. For those old heads, Tony Kukoc, who played with the Bulls back in the day, came from the EuroLeague. Arvydas Sabonis, which, you know, his Ante Sabonis, his father, for those that don't know, hell of a player. Head like 4 feet wide, but hell of a player. And some would argue that if he came earlier, he came over when he was in his 30s. I want to say 32, 31, something like that. One of the best passing big men I've ever seen. You know, yeah. And then Peja Stojakovic, you know, the late, great Peja Stojakovic, who started to really get into his rhythm with the Nets, you know, that came.
You're talking about Drazen Petrovic, bro.
Oh, sorry. You're right. I am talking about Drazen
Petrovic. Peja is the guy from the Kings.
He played for the Kings, correct. Thank you. Good call. Yeah. And you know, this, you know, just some stuff, you know, this is obviously the top competitive league in Europe. You know, they gather talent from Spain and Greece and Turkey and Serbia, things like that. And so this is really the main league that isn't in America that feeds into the NBA.
And it's kind of like it's almost kind of like the same, like the Premier League in soccer, right? They have teams that compete to get to that point, right? So
correct.
The teams kind of, they shift on an annual basis depending on, you know, if they place to get there or not, right? So it's interesting. Very similar to the soccer league as well.
Correct. Yes, this Euro League is very much like the Premier League where they gather the players from other leagues and kind of have like a championship league. Correct. That's exactly how that's at. Exactly. Good call, Eddie. Good comparison.
Yep.
All right.
What I was going to tell you is that some other names that I actually did some research that came from the EuroLeague, right? So you already mentioned Luka, Drazen, Arvydas. Mike James, he played in the NBA for a little bit. He's actually one of the best all-time players in EuroLeague, believe it or not. The guy that just got traded, you know, to the Bucks, Vasilije Micic for the Pat Connaughton, right? He was another one.
Yep.
Nikola Mirotic. Remember that guy? That's the guy that Bobby Portis knocked out in practice.
I remember.
The same sense. So he's the original Jordan Poole, bro. He was the guy that got knocked out and since he didn't necessarily ever come back into the league, he wasn't the same, bro. So Nikola Mirotic.
Well, you know, there was no video footage of that one.
Yeah, I know. But, dude, he was never the same. So, but, you know, kudos to Jordan for actually still becoming a decent player, even after his knockout was on footage, right? So, so you already mentioned Dirk Nowitzki, Nikola Jokic, bro. Nikola Jokic, right?
Nikola Jokic.
You know, so Vlade Divac also came from this league. Nikola Vucevic, although he played for USC, but, you know, he's a guy that has played in this league. Goran Dragic. Remember Goran Dragic?
Goran Dragic.
So he's another one. Rick Smits, the Flying Dutchman, right? That guy. He's another one that came from this league. Kristaps Porzingis. Šarūnas Marčiulionis.
Well, Kristaps, I got him here in Spain, right? So he started in the ACB Spain League, which I got some other players here highlighted. Yep. But, keep going.
And then you have Bojan Bogdanović. He's another one. Clint Capella. Yep. Jonas.
I got him a little lower, but, yeah.
Yeah, and then Dennis Schroeder. These are all guys that I saw that were, you know, to supplement what you have already shown here as far as EuroLeague players. So,
no, awesome.
Based on what you've shown to this point, EuroLeague seems to be the best league outside of the NBA in the world, right? As far
correct.
As having correct. NBA-ready players, right?
Correct. Yeah, they and again, like if you see 3 and 4 and some of these other teams feed into that EuroLeague, right? But I was trying to like dictate the player as opposed to
when they went back.
So that's kind of what I'm trying to kind of differentiate. So for example, the third best league in the world is arguably the Spain league, right? The Spanish league, which obviously the Gasol brothers came out of, Pau and Marc Gasol, Ricky Rubio, right, as well. So this is really the Spain league is really considered the best domestic league in Europe. Right. So if you're not going into the Premier League, which is a conglomerate of a lot of different leagues and a lot of different players, right?
Yeah.
The top domestic league is considered to be Spain. There's a lot of players that come out of there, right? Kristaps Porzingis played in that league. Serge Ibaka played out of that league. You know, Ricky Rubio. I don't know if you did some other players that came out of that league.
I did. Okay. I actually have some other ones. So you have Rudy Fernandez in there? You don't have Rudy Fernandez.
I do not.
So I have Rudy Fernandez. I have Santi Aldama of the Memphis Grizzlies.
Yes.
And then I think I have him
somewhere down low.
Yeah. Juancho Hernan Gomez is another one. So Jose Calderon, I think you already have him there. Do you have Jose? No, you don't have Jose Calderon.
I don't have Jose.
So you already mentioned Kristaps? Yeah, Kristaps. So those are the guys that I had. Yep.
Yeah. So the next league is the Turkey League, right? Which some of those players, Bogdan Bogdanovic played out of this league. Hedo Turkoglu, Sidi Osman, Alper Sengun, who's kind of a player that's growing, you know, so you can see the different players. This is a strong, financially strong, a league with a lot of passionate fan base. You know, they're one of the better kind of Euro League contenders. They're kind of the teams that come from this league are playing into the Euro League, those teams. I rank them as the fourth best.
Okay.
Did you get anybody from here?
So you have, I had Mehmet Okur, who came out of the league. You remember him?
Yep, I do remember him.
And then Omer Asik is another guy who played in the NBA. And then another guy was Omer Yurtseven. Omer Yurtseven, he played for the Miami Heat. He also played for some other, but he didn't get much playing time in the NBA, but he came from this league as well. And I think you have Ersan Ilyasova there too, right? Yep.
Yep. Yeah, I do.
Yeah. Those are the guys that I had in addition to what you had.
Okay. The next one I have here is the Russian League. This one, kind of the research that I have has been declining as of late in terms of its ranking, but it's still ranked the fifth best league in the world. Players to come out of this league, obviously AK-47, Andrei Kirilenko, Timofey Mozgov, who played with the LeBron.
I forgot about that guy,
Jonas Jerebko. Alexei Shved. So these are some of the top players that played in the NBA that came out of this Russian league.
Yep.
No,
you got all the ones that I had. I mean, you got them all. So I didn't have anybody in addition. So.
All right. Let's see here. Just trying to move down the list here. Next, I have French. This one's growing.
Right? For sure.
My guess is that if we look at these rankings in a couple of years, This league may be in the third or fourth slot. Just looking at some of these names that have come on and, you know, some of the players that have been drafted recently, especially this past draft, I think we had three or four French players that came out of from this league. But obviously Victor Wembanyama is like the crown jewel, right?
He's the gold standard, man.
Yeah, right he is the gold
standard.
Although
I would say Tony Parker is the gold standard right now, I mean, to date, right? Victor Wembanyama hasn't won any championships yet, but he's like a talent that's through the roof.
I agree, but the way that I look at this, Eddie, isn't so much the winning, but the hype. Like Tony Parker was a second round or a late first round pick. No one knew who he was. I mean, Victor Wembanyama was the number one pick. In terms of hype and expectations, like Victor Wembanyama, he's second to none, right? Rudy Gobert, Evan Fournier, Nicholas Batum, all these guys, you know, they've had good careers, but Victor Wembanyama is the guy, you know, and so, you know, they're the sixth best league right now in terms of the way that I'm ranking these. And so I thought it was fascinating to see France because I think, like I said, France is on its way up.
Yep, I agree. So the other guys that I had here, to augment what you have is Boris Diaw.
Yes, Boris Diaw, good call.
Zachary Rissau-Shea.
Yep.
Bilal Coulibaly, Usman Dieng, who plays for the Thunder, Timothy Luwawu-Cabarrot, remember that guy?
Yes, I do.
Name, man. Jan Mahimi played for the Pacers. Johan Petro played for the Nets. Rayon Rupert, who plays for the Trailblazers right now. Tijani Saluan, who plays for the Hornets. And then Alex Saar, of course, right? He got drafted last year. And then Gershon Yubaseli is another guy who came from this league. Yep. So he played for the French team last season too.
So, Ed, I don't know if you've seen, but there's talk that the next All-Star game is going to be USA versus the world.
Oh, is it really? That's interesting.
You're kind of breaking up. Yeah, exactly. And I'm wondering at what point does the world begin to beat USA?
Well, dude, I think they could beat them right now, honestly.
You're looking at some of these. You're looking at some of these names, right? And like,
dude. Well, okay. Right now, if you were to go ahead and put a international team right now. You'd have Shea. You'd have Giannis. You'd have Luka. You'd have Wembanyama. You'd have Jokic.
Yep.
That right there is a very formidable starting five.
That's a scary squad.
And then you got guys coming off the bench. You know, I mean, this guy's not even that big of a player, but, you know, Josh Giddey coming off the bench, right?
Yep.
You know,
you
have someone like that, right? You have guys like Dylan Brooks who comes off the bench as well. You know, they're Canadians. I'm just thinking off the top of my head. These are guys I'm just thinking off from the top of my head. And that right there is formidable enough, bro, right?
I agree. I agree. I think it'll put it a certain Olympics feel to it and maybe make it a little more competitive. What's ironic is a lot of the players that you're mentioning, they're kind of up and coming players. While a lot of the U.S. stars are a lot older.
Yeah, because the guys that would start would be LeBron, Curry, Durant, Harden. I mean,
They're all older. 35 right? and older. They're all 35 they're all older. And older.
They're all older, yeah, exactly.
You know, I mean, you got somebody like Anthony Edwards who'd be young. He could play.
Anthony Davis. Oh, yeah, Anthony Edwards would be a young one. Anthony Davis would probably be on that team as well.
Older,
Who else would be up and coming that's on there? So you have to look at
the Tyrese Halliburton.
Tyrese Halliburton, I think.
They're hurt right now, but if they weren't.
Wait, is Halliburton Canadian? I'm not sure. I could have sworn he's from a different country, but anyway, I might be wrong. I know he played for Iowa State, but I forgot what – he might have come from another country. Anyway, but then you have Klay Thompson, right, coming off the bench for the international team because he's Bahamas, right?
I'm not sure where he was born, but yes, his father's definitely from the Bahamas. That's true.
Bahamas, yeah, exactly, exactly. Yeah, I mean, it'd be interesting. It'd definitely make it a very interesting. I think the Euros are just way better, right? Jalen Williams would be on the American team. The Oklahoma City Thunder, Jalen Williams. Chet Holmgren would be on the up and coming team, right? The young guys coming out, right? So,
But if you take out the old 35 and over, I mean,
then it's scarce, man.
It's starting really to get scarce. At that point. Yeah, no, I'm with you. All right, let's go down the league here. The next, the seventh ranked league is the Italian league, Lega A, and you know they've been a solid historic league. Some players that come out of there: Manu Ginobili, Andre Bargnani, Danilo Gallinari. Is he still in the league? I haven't seen his.
He retired. I think he retired, man. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it might have been last year that he retired. So
let me just make sure.
Let me see. Do you have Marco Bellinelli?
I didn't put him in here. I saw him there. I didn't put him in there, but I saw him.
He was another one. And then Simone Fontecchio, a guy who just got traded, right, for Duncan Robinson. So he's the guy that came from this league. And then Tristan Vukcevic. Forgot what team he plays for, but I think it's the Nets. I think he plays for. So, but anyway, those are the other guys that I wanted to go ahead and highlight from the Italian league.
Okay, and then next we have the Greek league, and obviously Giannis.
This is Giannis, man. He's the only one.
Yeah, I mean, that's the only guy brothers. On there.
His other brothers, too, though, right?
His other brother's struggling. I didn't want to, you know, kind of just throw him in there in the lump. But Greece, you know, is trying to rebuild its league. You know, it is historically a good league, but, again, these are obviously the main guy. Everyone that knows Giannis knows he came from the Greek league. So we'll go down another league that I think is been potentially growing as of late is the Australian league, the NBL league. This is kind of like, you know, as I mentioned here, it's kind of an NBA pipeline. You know, as we mentioned, a couple of guys, Josh Giddey, Andrew Bogut, Joe Inglis, you know, Alex Starr, the Warriors drafted Alex Tuhi from the NBL league just this year. So I think that, you know, they've had some players, you know. Andrew Bogut has played, at least for the Warriors, has played a large role in kind of talking into their ear about guys that they should be paying attention to, guys that he thinks, you know, might fit in the NBA. So it's going to be really interesting to see how Tuhi does. There's been a lot of Australian players. I just grabbed a handful here to share. I don't know if you have any on your list.
I have a few others. I have LaMelo Ball. LaMelo Ball come out of
You know, I thought about LaMelo. I had him there, but, you know, the reason I didn't include him is because he did it to bypass – you know what I mean? He wasn't, like, really from there. He kind of did it to bypass his college year.
I hear you. Yeah.
You know, and so he could make a little money, which is kind of – but you're right. I mean, he played in the league. That's 100% true. But that's why I was kind of on the fence whether I should put him or not.
No, the other guys that I had were Luke Longley, you know, for the Bulls.
Yes, Luke Longley.
He might have been the very first one that came out of that league.
Yeah, he might have, yep.
I have Dante Exum,
I missed him
in the league right now. And then I have Dyson Daniels, the newly crowned most improved player of the year. Dyson Daniels coming out of this league as well. So
Yep. All right.
Moving down, man. The line. This is interesting, man.
Yeah, no, I mean I like it because like at least for me, I'm gonna keep this table. And next year when we have a draft, I'm gonna see, you know, what league they're drafting them from. And you know, if it's kind of one of the top three or four leagues, I'm going to go, hey, this might be somebody. You know, he's playing against good competition. The next one is China, which, you know, is China's more into having players, ex-NBA players, like Stephon Marbury played in China. There's been a handful of players. So China's kind of this league where they're really trying to recruit NBA players that maybe don't have a home here in the States and paying them. And so that's kind of been more their thing. Because they pay more money than the average league out there. But you know, stars that have come out of here, and even this particular year, that Chinese player that we thought was a second rounder, he's from this league as well. I didn't note him here, but Yao Ming is obviously
Yang Hansen.
And so Yao Ming is obviously the gold standard. He had a shorter career than I think he would have liked. Yi Jinglin was a player that followed in his footsteps. I think he was drafted by Dallas, I want to say, back in the day.
And then the Bucks too. I think he played for the Bucks, but those are the only two guys I had, man. That I showed.
Yeah, then I had Wang Jiji, who played for.
I forgot about that guy.
Yeah, and then again, this guy Hanson Yang came out of this league as well this year. So it's going to be interesting to see how this plays. But again, this league has been more focused on. I think they've been focused more on being an entertaining league and a good league within themselves and not so much as a feeder system for the NBA. All right. And then the last one that I had with actual names, and after that it got a little challenging, was the Japanese league.
Yuta Watanabe. Holy crap.
Yes.
He played for the Raptors.
Rui Hachimura, who I like.
But he's Gonzaga, though. He played for Gonzaga.
Yeah, but I think he played some time in that B league.
Maybe.
Because I had him in there as playing some time in the B League. Let's see here.
By the way, did you talk about the Argentina League?
It wasn't on my ranking, no, because I had the Argentinian players under, where'd I have them?
You put them under the Euro League.
I think it's all under the Euro League, but I think on its own, I don't think I had them, no.
Yeah, so I had guys from the Argentina league, and by the way, I had
Manu Ginobili, who's Argentinian. I had him in the Italian league.
Oh, see, I put him in Argentina. So
okay,
and then I had Luis Scola out of Argentina as well. Andres Nocioni, Facundo Campazzo, and then Pablo Prigioni. Those are the guys that came out of Argentina. So when I looked at my list, you know what I did is I counted all the players that played in the NBA and EuroLeague. Had 23 that I, you know, counted. There's probably a lot more, but 23 notable players that came out of the EuroLeague that played in the NBA. Right? And then the second best was the French. The French had 16 from my list, right? So it was EuroLeague 23, French was 16, and then the third were the Spaniards. The Spaniards were at 8, you know, after that. And then after that, it was like 5, 6, 7, you know, no more than that. So if I were to go ahead and then, of course, I put the G League, too, because the G League does feed into the NBA, right? And some of the notable guys that came out of there, Pascal Siakam.
I included them, yep.
Yeah, Jeremy Lin, Jordan Poole, probably Jonathan Kuminga, Fred VanVleet, Chris Middleton, Jalen Green, right? These guys are all that came out of the G League. And there's more to come as well, but – they were like the third best as far as bringing players that from my list, right? So I just wanted to supplement.
Yeah, and clearly, if we're looking at this as not a league but as a feeder system into the NBA, the number one feeder system would be the NCAA, at least historically, right?
Oh, even above the G
League, it would be NCAA, G League, then Euro League, then so on and so on.
Yes.
But I kept those kind of out because those are systems we're familiar with. You know, the G League has really become a vehicle for players to not go to college and play 1 year a professional before they can join the NBA, which is the NBA saying, you know, you have to play 1 year professionally, or you have to have played 1 year of college before you can be eligible. And so really the G League is a system to bypass not going to college. Right. So I kind of look at those, but again, those two would be higher to me than the Euro League because they're really both the NCAA. There's just guys that either played at college or guys that didn't.
Yep.
But that's really what that is. But yeah, good call. And then I have some other leagues here, you know, the Germany League, Philippines League, Brazil League, the Argentinian League here is what you had. But again, I had them higher as the Italian players. Like, for example, Manu Ginobili played out of the Italian League, right? I don't know how much he played in this league in particular, but, and then the Korean league. And then there was a couple of leagues that I didn't rank in here that were just, I did want to name. There's a BAL league, which is the Basketball African League. There's an Israeli Winter League, not winter. Then there's the Lithuanian Basketball League. And then there's a Puerto Rican league as well, that exists. But those are, I just kind of put them as honorable mentions and left it as the 16. So for me, it was really educational, you know, just to understand the better teams. You know, I didn't want to like have word vomit on all of this. Obviously we could have talked about within any of these leagues, which are the better teams, like who are the Lakers and the Celtics of the Euro League, who are the, you know, so I didn't go that far. I just looked at them as a league. And I think some of these leagues, players want to go play for the NBA. I think some of these leagues, players just want to stay in that league and have a good career. You know, I think there's a lot of things to be considered, but when we have a draft and you look at these leagues, at least I'm hoping this gives everyone that's listening kind of just a way to kind of compare and go, okay, you know, if they're coming out of the Euro League, they must be pretty good because that's a lot of players. Yep. If they're coming particularly out of the Spanish
league, sure.
You know, there's a lot of leagues. The French league, you know, is every year is kind of growing and moving up the charts, right? So that's probably a good league. So things like that, I think, would be I find interesting. And for me, this was educational and fun.
No, I thought this was really good, man. I mean, it was very educational as I was doing my research on this as well. And, you know, it kind of gives me, you know, as for future drafts, you know, kind of where they're coming from, right? You know, then I'm more familiar with these leagues, right? And kind of seeing, you know, which ones have, you know, historically been the best at feeding into the NBA, which right now is the EuroLeague, with the French probably the ones that's up and coming, as well as, you know, I would say probably I don't know why I just remembered. I forgot the name of this country, but God dang it! Anyway, dude, this is what happens when you get old, bro. You forget, dude. It sucks.
No,
it sucks
when
you're old, bro.
I was,
you know what I'm talking about?
Well, I was telling someone, you know, for me, this is the way that I compare it. Like, as you get older, there's less room in your brain, and if you want to remember something, you got to kick something out.
Exactly. You have to get rid of something.
Yeah,
Australia was the name of the country I was trying to remember, bro. That's how bad it was.
Yeah,
I had to get rid of the pieces of information so I can remember that. Yeah. What was that?
No, I said Australia, as we mentioned, has had a lot of success in the States as well. So it's going to be fun to kind of look at this list. I'm going to kind of as it goes. But clearly, I mean, Luka Doncic, you know, Jokic, those type of players are, you know, MVP top players. SGA won it. He's an MVP. I mean, we didn't really talk about Canadian-born players a lot.
Yes.
But, you know, because I don't know. In my research, I didn't really see a Canadian league. They usually go to college here and do that. Yes. So if we're looking at where they're born from, that's a different concept than what league they played in. Obviously, SGA played in college, or U.S. college. And so that's a different. But, yeah, if we're looking at players, that would be kind of a different thing to look at is what are the greatest international players that have played. But not all of these players have gone through these leagues. Right? So I just wanted to note the difference on that. Yeah.
Well, dude, the day that we know that the world.
Man, even when we have a lot of material, we still seem to run an hour and 15 minutes.
Yeah, but what I was going to say, bro, is that the we know that the world or the basketball is becoming an international sport. It has been for years, but you know it's becoming the new soccer, really, right? It's becoming, you know, a worldwide sport. And you know the day that we see, you know, countrymen from at where we were born, bro, in the NBA, that will be impressive, bro. Because you know, having a Costa Rican or a Peruvian as well as a Salvadorian in the NBA, dude. I'm not holding out hope that that's going to happen because we're not.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm ever going to see that day. Yeah,
Yeah.
Yeah. So, we may get caught on the height requirement.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. But, dude, so anyway, we're right there, man. We did it less than an hour and a half, dude. We finally did it less than an hour and a half. It's been, like, weeks since we've done it, bro. But what we did this week is we covered the post-draft trade and free agent frenzy that's been going on. Craziness, man, how many transactions. I counted over 60 transactions, bro, that have happened after the draft, all right? So this was a very busy offseason, and it's going to get – there's more to come, man. It's not over, man. I mean, this is the first week after the draft. There's going to be more, you know, that's going to come down the line, and we'll cover those as they come. So that's the first topic that we talked about. And then we went our, you know, quick little fun segment was just the rookie draft. It's something that Twan and I do for fun. We compete against each other. We do like a fantasy basketball kind of arrangement where we draft players, which we did. You know, Twan, his team is actually pretty formidable. He has Cooper Flagg, Ace Bailey, Trey Johnson, Kamon Malawach, and then Rashear Fleming. And then I have Dylan Harper, VJ Edgecombe, Con Kanupul, Colin Murray Boyles, and Johnny Broom. That's my team. So we're going to go ahead and keep track to see how these players do, especially this upcoming week because the Summer League is starting Saturday, bro. All right? So we're going to keep a close watch to some of these rookies that are on our team, as well as, you know, the guys that are on our team, right, the Warriors. We want to see this Alex Toohey play, also the guy from Florida, Richard, right? Anyway, so that's the second statement. And the last thing that we talked about is we wanted to look at all the leagues that feed into the NBA, right? All that feed players in the NBA. And I thought it was a very educational piece. You know, Twan put a spreadsheet that showed all the different leagues, kind of rated them based on, you know, product notoriety as well as, you know, how many NBA players were fed into the NBA from those countries. So we went ahead and covered that. I think it's going to be very useful for future drafts, you know, as we kind of get educated on this. But I thought that was a really good educational segment. That was a good idea, bro, that we did all this, man. So
yeah,
anyway,
no,
So anyway, this is episode 56, all right, of Buzzer Beaters. I'm Eddie Aparicio. This is Anthony Twan Corral, and we're also known as the Cisco Kids. You can find us at gremlingsmedia.com. You can also find us at any popular podcast outlet you can think of, such as YouTube, Facebook, X, Spotify, Pandora, you name it. Just go ahead and type us in. We're here live every Wednesday, at least for the next 3 to 4 weeks, right? And then after that, we're going to probably take a little break because the NBA season will be pretty much done until the preseason starts. But we're going to go ahead and cover the summer leagues that are coming out in the next couple of weeks. I'm looking forward to it because I kind of – and a lot of these players that were drafted, I didn't see a lot of these players. I only saw the guys that were in the tournament, yeah. Right? But there's other guys that I'm really interested to see how they play, right? And, you know, sometimes – you know, that's what I like. I like watching these up and coming guys. It's just fun, right? That's when you're a hoop head, you're watching Summer League when you're a hoop head, man, right? Right. So,
no, I agree. You're looking at the future of the league, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So at some point, some of these players are going to be the ones that are carrying the league. You know, it's going to be fun to see how much better Cooper Flagg is against the competition, and someone like Igor Daman, who was taken in the first round, who was taken a lot higher than people had him ranked. Yeah. I'm going to be interested to see how he does. You know, are the Nets onto something? Are the Nets just poor scouting? You know, like it's going to be fun to just watch.
Yeah, no, I agree.
So, you know, hoping the best for all these players. Right. But yeah, they start with the California Classic, like Eddie said, this weekend.
Salt Lake City.
We'll move into the Summer League. Yeah. Eddie, you and I got to catch a Summer League game and do maybe a remote. We'll see if Guillermo will pay for us to go to it.
I know. Do a show out there and interview some players. That'd be cool, man.
Exactly.
Know, man.
Exactly.
Well, anyway, thanks for tuning in. This is episode 56 of Buzzer Beaters. I'm Eddie Aparicio. This is Anthony Twan Corral. And we're going to go ahead and sign off. Have a good rest of the week. And enjoy the Summer League games this weekend. Until then, have a good week.
Yes. See you.